the Easter story. You know, it's one of those stories. It's like Christmas. You know, we know it so well. We could tell the story. But there's something about the story that Mark tells. And if you noticed, what I read actually went a little bit longer. What I read is actually not the original ending. This is how the ending, from your lectionary leaflet. After the women had met the man inside the tomb, it says, so they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's how the Gospel of Mark ended for centuries. They said nothing. It ended in silence. And I have to ask, really? No hallelujahs? No little pieces of paper being blown up into the air, thrown up into the air?
Good job.
Silence? They had been through watching Jesus being crucified and dying. And they had gotten up and they had walked. I imagine that walk. The three women carrying the oils and to anoint his body. It's one thing that I've noticed as a priest. We women, the bodies of our loved ones are very important to us. We tend to them. The men care just as deeply, but we women, we tend to the bodies. We make sure that those bodies, even though the life has left, those bodies still are cared for. And that's what these women were doing. They were going to the tomb early in the morning, carrying the oils to tend to the body. And I mean, we're told that they were having a little bit of conversation. I would imagine they weren't talking much. I would imagine that they were still in quite a bit of grief. I would imagine that there was silence on the way to the tomb. The kind of silence that they would have heard the animals around them, the birds that might have been wakening. The kind of silence that they would have heard their footsteps on the path as they walked. The kind of silence they probably would have even heard their own hearts beating. But silence after they see the empty tomb? I don't get it. Well, maybe I do. Mark is not trying to give us a historical account of this event. Mark is writing a faith account. And Mark, the author of the Gospel of Mark, is writing to people who are living a life that is very difficult. The Jews are still under the occupation of Rome. The Christians, those who are followers of Jesus, they are being persecuted by the thousands. Life is awful. And so the ending of the Gospel of Mark is silence. And it is silence that exists in terror and amazement. The women experienced terror and amazement. Those are two totally conflicting emotions. You go back to the original Greek, the terror is trauma. The amazement is ecstasy. Have you ever lived an experience where you had trauma and ecstasy in that same situation? If you think hard enough, you might remember some of those experiences. And that's what those women were experiencing. The trauma of losing their loved one, Jesus. The trauma, I dare say, the trauma of even, oh my gosh, this, what he has been saying actually might even be true. Oh my gosh, I might even be called to live my life the way that Jesus has been telling me to live my life. And I don't know that I can do it. And the ecstasy of, it might really be true. It might actually be true. And there's an empty tomb. Trauma and ecstasy woven together in the same experience. And the gospel writer gives us silence. Now, in the centuries that come after that, the gospel was copied and copied and copied for sharing, distribution, so to speak, by monks. They would sit long hours and they would copy, handwrite these scriptures, the holy papers. And somewhere along the line, a monk or two decided that this story should not end in silence. This story needs to be tied together in a nice, neat package. We need to let people know that there's an other ending to this story. And so if you go home and you take a look on your in your Bibles or you Google it, there's two more endings. There are two more endings. They're not original. They're great endings. But the original ending is silence. Silence. The kind of silence that we're supposed to sit in and ponder. Back in the 80s, could be the 70s, I'm not really sure when they started, but I experienced them in the 80s, and then they became very popular in the 90s, were a form of books that were popular for children. They were adventure books, write your own adventure books. Anybody remember those? Write your own adventure books. So the teenager would be reading along in this book and come to a point where the reader was given a choice to make a decision. And if you decide that the next thing that the character would do was A, B, or C, if it was A, then you turn to page 147, and read on. If it's B, then you turn to page 156 and you read on. And if it was C, then maybe you go back to the beginning. And so the reader created their own adventure. And every time they read the book, it could be a different story. I think Mark, the gospel writer of Mark, is giving us something to that effect. With the silence. And we get it if we allow ourselves to go back in time in the mental attention of those who were receiving the gospel for the first time. We know what we know about Easter. And we have our traditions and our beliefs about Easter. And we celebrate Easter because we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us to give us eternal salvation. Right?
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. What if there's something way more than that wonderful story? What if the silence is an invitation for you and me to complete that gospel story in our lives? What if we live into the terror and amazement and as the body of Christ, we live a resurrected life? So what might that look like? So what would be a situation of terror? I can imagine a trauma, a terror of receiving a diagnosis that you don't want to receive. That's trauma. That's terror. That's that feeling when your heart just sinks. Living into a resurrected life would be when you know that God is with you and you know that you have a family of faith that is walking with you in this trauma and terror together. I would imagine many, I'm being a little sexist here, but I would imagine many of the young men here would wake up in the middle of the night or get up in the morning and go, oh my gosh, I've got a family. This is all on me. I got to do this. They're depending on me. Terror. Those could be moments of terror. Amazement. You're doing it. And you're doing an awesome job. And you're doing it as men of faith. And you're raising beautiful families. Terror and amazement put together. Some of us might have some parts of our personality that we just wish that we could deal with, could shed. And every time we bring it to our minds, we get this feeling of terror, of trauma. And every time we bring it to our minds, that's one step closer to allowing God to take it and resurrect it. That's living a resurrected life. The list goes on, and I'm sure you have all of your own terror and amazements that can go together. Trauma and ecstasy. And so I offer to you this morning, this Easter morning, as we bring Ella Elizabeth into the family of Christ, who will be living her own life of terror and amazement, that you ponder the silence. Allow the silence to surround you. Celebrate Jesus' resurrection as a promise of eternal life. But don't forget that it starts today. Because the resurrected life does start today. Amen?
Amen.